Our first reading today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Let us listen for the word of God. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Thus is the word.
The second readings, Acts 3, verses 12 through 19. Our second reading comes from this book, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Let us listen for the word of God. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. This is the word of the Lord. Can you all hear me? Is this better? Amen. I'm not used to working with the microphone. I got to turn it off and turn on, turn off, turn on. So bear with me here. Amen. Amen. I am so honored to be here with you today, and I give many thanks to God above for this wonderful opportunity to be able to share in fellowship with my brothers and sisters on this glorious day. But before I give thanks to you, let me give thanks to God in reverence. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my Savior and my Redeemer. You gave me a specific word for this particular church, Lord God, and I thank you for being the messenger. May the word fall on fertile ground, Lord God. May it take root as a prophetic word for what you have called this mighty church to do in this community and the hope of the work that's still yet to be done in your name. Amen. So again, thank you for the opportunity to the elders of the church. I am exceedingly blessed to be able to be before you. Special thanks to my husband, Robert Parker, who is my co-laborer in Christ in my ministry and in my life. I'd like to thank my family, my church family that's here today, my family through marriage as well, all the way from San Bruno, California, to be with us today, the Parkers in the back there, Mary and Frank, and my beautiful, beautiful neighbor and small group partner, Elaine Morse from El Dorado Hills, amen. And then we have from Folsom, we have the Winstons. Thank you so much for being here. They co-labor with me and our church with Loaves and Fishes during sunrise breakfasts. They're with the homeless. And then let's see, my brother Willie, and this my sister Tracy, who's just established a foundation in Haiti, done missionary trips in South America, and she's been called to work specifically with the teachers, teaching the teachers there in Haiti. And she's out of Elk Grove, so thank you for being here. All right, now let's go to the Word. Our scriptural reading and teaching is going to be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. But before we go to the text, I'd like to give you some background information on what is going on prior to Jesus having this conversation with the disciples and specifically with Peter. They are at the foot of Mount Hermon, and they are on their way to Jerusalem for the last Passover journey. And in John 6:66, it tells us that prior to this happening, that many of the disciples that had been walking with Jesus and believers fell away, because at that time he was bringing a teaching about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And that was a hard lesson for them to receive and to accept. And so therefore, they stopped believing and they went away. But Jesus, knowing this and experiencing this, he goes to the disciples and he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" So in chapter 16, verse 13, if you want to follow along with me, it reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter responded, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Barjona, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' And then he warned the disciples not to tell anybody about what was spoken." So here we find four themes. Jesus is questioning the disciples about who do they believe others are saying about him. And then he's turning around and asking them, "Who do you say I am?" And then he's responding by blessing Peter, who responds correctly, knowing that God specifically chose Peter to reveal this truth about who Jesus is, the Son of Man, the Savior. And another prophetic announcement, which is critical, is about the eternity of the church, his church, and what role Peter was going to play in it. So in Peter's confession, what we see is Peter's response through his faith and what was being expressed. And there are two things. One is that God is revealing who his Son is. He is the promised Messiah that was foretold in the Old Testament. So from the beginning to the end, the New Testament, we know, is the actual manifestation of God's promise of covenant with his people for the redemption of their sins. Now, the source of Peter's confession was revelation from God, and Peter was able to receive it in his heart. Why? Because he was open to receiving the truth about Jesus's, God's true character and the nature thereof. Now, verse 18 says that, "And I tell you, you are Peter." The Greek interpretation of Peter is Petros, and that means a piece of a rock, of a large rock. But he says, "And on this rock," and in Greek, that means Petra, which is a huge rock like the Rock of Gibraltar, "I will build my church." So the significance of this is Peter's revelation of who Jesus was in his personhood. You are the Son of the living God, and he becomes the earthly foundation, the Petros, that the church will be built with. But it is important that we understand that Jesus is the cornerstone, the Petra, of which God's church is built on. Amen? So what does it take to become the Petros, the piece of the larger rock? Well, last year you celebrated 125 years of service to the community. Amen? Amen. That's significant. And I read that the founders of your church were German farmers. Amen? Amen. So what that said to me was that this foundational church that was built by the Petros were people that understood and had a respect for the land. They were sowers and reapers of the land, and they knew that they were commerce because they gave and blessed others through their tithes and offerings. To be able to be in existence today is a testimony of their faith and their understanding of being the Petros, the Peters that the church is built with. And reading, I also learned that in that first year that you were established, that the church was completely burned down. How devastating must that have been for the individuals that in faith pulled together, created a church in worship, and then to have it burned down. But God's favor is always abounding in those that stay connected and believe. And here we are, 126 years later. So upon this rock, Peter, the Petros, the people of faith, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." You are Peter. You are Peter. You are Peter. You are all Peters, the Petros. We as community are the Petros. Amen? Amen. And so, will God not do the impossible? I don't know what your particular needs are, desires are right now, but if you just trust and obey, he will answer those prayers and bring it to pass. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that applies to you too. Zechariah 4 verses 6 through 7 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain," that refers to human obstacles, "before Zerubbabel," which is an example, the type of Christ. "You will turn into a plain," which means the construction of the temple. "And he," God, "will bring forth the cornerstone," Jesus, "to the shouts of grace, grace be unto you." So what is it that God is asking you to do today? What is the living God asking this church and this community to do? What unfinished business is yet to still be done that this church has specifically been called to do? Now, last week, because we were here, Reverend Waysong spoke about being our brother's keeper. And we know that that testimony and that question is evident in this church based upon the ministries that you are currently doing. You're providing the long-term care and the assisted living facility that you have. And you're providing a good, sound Christian educational foundation for preschoolers and for children that are going to age grades 8. But I do sense that in these latter days, God still is requiring something of this church, the Petros, to do something. So accustomed to receiving revelation, I get from the Bible and from his word, I also am a dreamer. And I will say that last week I had a prophetic dream. And in it, it occurred at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is usually when the Lord speaks to me and wakes me up or calls me to pray or something. But in this vision were a group of beautiful white cumulus clouds. But from it, boldly and quickly, came these red letters. And it said it was Isaiah 63:4. And I said, Lord, I don't even know that. So let me get up and see what that is. And what it said was, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, that's a strong message. You know, I'm new. I would like to come back, but I'm going to be obedient and bring that. Amen. So I received in my spirit that we are seeing a lot of crazy things in the world. But we know that we are a royal priesthood. We are people that are peculiar and set apart. That's scriptural, that's in the Bible. So if you are brokenhearted or disheartened by what you're seeing in the news or seeing with family members or seeing with siblings or family members not acting right, be encouraged, because we know that we are to be our brother's keeper, our brothers and sisters' keepers. We're to love unconditionally like Jesus loved us. And vengeance is the Lord's. So he said that he would fight our battles. He also said that he would make our enemies our footstools. So we are to set those issues that we have with our brothers and sisters, maybe even spouses, and set that aside and trust God that he's going to bring it to pass, because we are the redeemed. Those who have an ear, let them hear, and that the planting here in this community is still growing short. And those who profess that Jesus is Lord will be saved. So in closing, I want to just say that our job as believers, as the Peters of the church, is to seek the lost so that they may be found. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that have been lost. Your legacy has and still continues to be sowers, sowers, and more sowing, and that the harvest has never been greater here in Woodland. Let us have confidence that our prayers will be heard, and that we know, because James 5:16 says that the effectual prayers of the righteous will availeth much, we know that it's going to come to pass. So therefore, we can be joyous, we can be victorious as we go into the throne room of grace with our prayers and our hopes and our dreams, because why? We celebrate this month that he is alive. We serve a living God, and he rose from the dead. Why? To lead the rest of the work that he has conditioned us to, he has equipped us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, to do his good bidding. And that is to save the sheep and to save and search for the lost. Amen? Why? Because we are the Petros. We are endued with power. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And the community of believers said, amen. All right, please stand as you are able while we sing hymn 299, That Easter Day with Joy Was Bright.